What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, I forgot that you have to go at noon. Duty calls for you in the television realm. So let's get to some quick questions, the first of which the topic we were just discussing. Let me ask you guys a question. We're going to take a little trip around the league here. Why would T. Higgins want to come here? Like, I know money's the easy answer, but the money's going to be around equal from his best suitors, I would imagine. If you're T. Higgins, why would you go to a place that has a quarterback who has, if it's Fields, very questionable skills passing the ball, an offense that's run by Artie Smith, an overall mentality of conservatism that's put forth by Mike Tomlin, and a team that hasn't won a playoff game in 8 years? Like, what would be the attraction?
That's a very good question. To me, the number one attraction when you hit this area of his career is money. And if the money is there, he could be probably convinced to go anywhere. But if the money is equal, as you suggest, and I believe the money's going to be big no matter who offers him.
$19 million a year, they say, yeah, or more.
And then he can pretty much pick and choose where he wants to play. And I think the quarterback situation can hurt the Steelers here for sure. Unless they present a plan to him that, you know, and if I were him, I would ask about, what are your plans? What are we dealing with here? What kind of offense are we running? Those sorts of things. Joe Burrow, I always believe quarterbacks can make receivers look better than they really are. And I do believe receivers, he's talented. But I think if you don't have the quarterback throwing you the right pass, the right situation, all of a sudden things look a little differently. So I think that is a big question he should be asking that any free agent would ask.
City dweller, why would he come here?
Money. Like, he doesn't know who the quarterback's going to be. Like, if I was T. Higgins, I would be knocking down the door of Buffalo, maybe even Jacksonville, because they still have Trevor Lawrence. The book's still out on him. Maybe even Chicago.
How about Kansas City?
Yeah, they popped into my mind. Desperate teams for wide receivers. Kansas City would fit that category. Where the Steelers are one, but there's a huge question marks of people wanting to fire the coach, the coordinator. Is he going to be there, and how successful is he if he is? There are not a lot of things other than if they're giving $30 million to T. Higgins, why he would come here.
Well, let's go into our two-minute drill then. And that is, how much, this is around the divisional round, how much of that game last night was Lamar's fault?
Oh, anytime you make mistakes, it's, you know, he has a lot to do with it. Those resulted in points, so it's big. But I think there are many things that happened in that game that, not just him, but Mark Andrews and John Harbaugh. I thought John Harbaugh's going for two when he did. He didn't have to so early, and it puts an onus on them if they miss, which they did. They had to keep going, and you know, it leads to problems. So all three of them are complicit in this, I think.
He deserves a lot of blame. Not as much blame as Mark Andrews for his huge fumble in the fourth quarter and dropping a two-point conversion that Lamar threw right to him. But that fumble, guys, I got flashbacks to Justin Fields against the Colts. Like, what was Lamar doing in that situation where he fumbled in the middle of the field?
As Joe said, he was trying to play hero ball. That's what he's trying to do. And he's trying to make something out of nothing. And he should have just, you know, taken the sack.
And it seemed like, again, the Ravens with Lamar and their coaching staff became too Lamar dependent and not just giving the rock to Derrick Henry. And when they did in one drive in the second half, boom, 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 right down the field, they didn't do enough of it. And sticking to what got them there in the first place.
Right. And they didn't give it to him for the two-point conversion.
No, he wasn't on the field for that drive.
It was mine. No, I'm talking the first two-point conversion when they ran down the field. Just finish it off with him.
Yeah.
Instead, what happened was Lamar threw a bad ball there. I was watching Matt Hasselbeck last night. He was exactly right. And I agree with you, Bob. I never like chasing points in the third quarter. You don't need to tie the game there because if you don't get it, another touchdown for the Bills puts you down two scores at 9 points. Like, what are you doing?
Well, that's the thing. It's, you know, you just score. It's 21-19. All right, kick it, 21-20. You still have plenty of time here.
You're in the third quarter.
By missing, all of a sudden now, the next field goal, which they got, two of them, now you're down to where you have to do it again.
Right. If
they had kicked it.
If they had just kicked extra points, we might still be playing.
Exactly. And so that's never something that
that's A. Know. And then B, to ignore Derrick Henry from the 2 yard line, which they did. Hold on a second. I took a photo of this little treat here, which they did against the Steelers too at the end of the game. Ignore Derrick Henry, Bob. Here we are, Scott Kazmaier. Ravens with Lamar. Get this stat. Limits, I want you to be perked up for this. Sit up in your seat.
I have my marshmallow.
Ravens with Lamar Jackson are 2-for-9 on 2-point conversions when trailing in the fourth quarter in his career.
How about that?
2-for-9 with that guy. With that guy.
And two. Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous. So that goes to show you they're doing stuff they shouldn't be doing.
Over coaching. But my original question was how much blame on Lamar? A ton. Are you kidding me? They're at the Bills. First of all, he throws a horrible interception, which even though the Bills didn't convert on that drive, takes away one of your possessions in a game where both teams are capable of scoring on every possession. Mm-hmm. Horrible pass. The fumble completely recalibrated the game. The Ravens are down in Bills territory, moving the ball. I think they're at the 35 or so. When he tries to do too much with a fumbled snap, and next thing you know, the Bills are at their 30-yard line. Completely changed the game. Then on the first 2-point conversion, this is what I was getting at before, Matt Hasselbeck said Isaiah likely was wide open because a Bills defender fell, and Lamar throws a flat, like, line drive that Matt Milano deflects away. And Hasselbeck said you could have punted the ball to Isaiah likely there. Like, you put a little loft on the ball. How do you get that deflected? So he has, unfortunately, I really like Lamar. He's great, but unfortunately, to me, he bears more blame than anybody, including Andrews, for that loss. Because you can't have a turnover at midfield on a nothing play that results in a 14-point swing. Right. They're going
that
in to score
points.
Instead the Bills did.
Right, and that's a killer at that time. They all have blame in this. Whenever you lose, that's the way it is. And those are egregious mistakes that Buffalo did not make.
You know, period. The stat of the day? If Lamar Jackson wins the MVP, he'll have as many playoff wins as MVPs, 3-5 in 7 seasons in the NFL. That's outlandish.
Yeah, it is.
Sometimes
the real
wonder,
MVP showed up last night in Josh Allen.
They should change the voting. They shouldn't make – I hate that it's always done. If you're really talking about valuable, just wait till the whole season plays out and make your pick. Why does it have to be just regular season?
Well, isn't it in every sport?
Yeah, but I don't like it.
Well, there's a separate trophy for your playoff MVP.
You can have both still. MVP of the year, MVP of the Super Bowl.
Like I said about Lamar, though, they do win. They've won 3 playoff games in the last 4 years. He's been to an AFC title game. He's got to finish the job, I would agree, but they have a chance going in next year.
If Buffalo had lost, you'd be saying the same for Josh Allen.
Sure.
It's the same thing.
They're operating in a different world than the Steelers, a different sport right now than the Steelers, both teams, and many more.
Yeah, and most of them are in the AFC.
I mean, that was a great battle last night. It was a great battle.
It was fun to watch.
Nobody got on television, Tony Romo, and said the Ravens are quitting or the Bills are quitting, like Kirk Herbstreit did watching the Steelers quit on Tomlin the other night. Nobody's saying that about any of these teams. They all belong at the party. And as I said, the Steelers are imposters at the playoff party every year. They don't belong. Everybody, it's like the party where somebody, told Limits to come in a Halloween costume, but it's not a costume party. So everybody's looking, who's that guy? Who's that? Get him out of here. Not you, Limits, of course.
That's what I do when I wear NBA jerseys to events.
But you know what I mean? That the Steelers don't belong. They don't belong at the party. All these other teams do. But even the Ravens.
Yep. You need a quarterback to be at the party, period, I think.
Listen to this, Bob. This speaks to the idea that the Bills lost the game, or the Ravens lost the game more than the Bills won it. The Ravens are the first team in NFL history. Are you listening closely, Bob? Regular season or playoffs, to lose a game in which they rushed for more than 175 yards, completed more than 70% of their passes, averaged more than 10 yards per pass, converted 70% of their third downs and didn't punt in the whole game or miss a field goal.
Yep.
First team to reach those benchmarks who didn't win a game. And by the way, that just translates horribly for the Bills next week in Kansas City. It just does. They can't stop anybody.
What?
I mean, every game is built differently. Like, I'm not going to say that they have no chance.
Every week. I didn't say they had no chance. I said that those numbers translate like all the other numbers against the Bills defense. You didn't see the Bills defense getting dominated last night?
I did, but I also saw them getting key turnovers when they needed to and making stops when they needed to do it.
I mean, I saw the Ravens dropping the ball with nobody around
them. That was more the Ravens. None of that, like, first of all, Mark Andrews should not have one guy out of the blue come in and knock the ball away. He's just one-on-one. He could have fallen down and be, and then Lamar Jackson, fumble, let it go, bad, the interception, a complete overthrow. Those are all unforced errors in my view. Those are...
Well, yeah, the Andrews errors. One was a good punch out of the ball.
Okay, but he shouldn't have that. He hadn't fumbled in 5 years. And of all things, a guy took one swipe of it, and that was it.
You had a Henry drop.
He hadn't fumbled in 5 years. Give the guy credit for punching it out. The guy that's usually really
fine,
good holding the
but
ball.
I'm just saying
did
that
you miss? Did you miss the games where the Bills gave up 80 points to the Rams and Lions in back-to-back weeks? I mean, I just don't think that their defense is going to hold up in Kansas City. That's all I'm saying about that. I don't think that's a ridiculous.
We're going to get a Buffalo Super Bowl.
I hope so.
Pick'em game, and the over and under, interesting, is near 50, which I'm a little surprised by that. I don't know in those kinds of games, just because Kansas City hasn't played those kinds of games this year. And Buffalo, I don't know. That seems like a big total of points to me.
Well, they did average 30. The other common denominator here is all these teams can score in the Final Four.
Yeah.
All of them can score. That's the other thing.
But, you know, the other thing is they all can run the football, too.
Here's another question for you. Do you give the Lions a pony pass? Pony famously giving the Steelers a pre-pass for their game in Cleveland this year. Do the Lions get a pony pass for their loss in the divisional round because of the injuries?
I think the injuries are significant. Any team that goes through that much injury, especially on their defense the way they did, you know, I don't know if a pass. I mean, I understood that it was going to be difficult against a team that can do what they did against them. And man, I credit Washington more so than I would look at Detroit and say, well, you guys let too many things happen.
Do you give them the pony pass, Bob? Yes or no?
Yes. Only because of the lots of injuries.
Limits?
They get no pass in my mind. They had overcome a lot of those injuries, especially in the last couple of games when they beat Minnesota. They beat the crap out of Minnesota. They'd won the previous game, I think, to be able to set up against Minnesota that game to win it all and go to the number one seed. They got David Montgomery back. They got Terry and Arnold back. They were at home against a rookie quarterback. No pass. This was their year to do it, and they fell flat.
I absolutely give them a pony pass in this game. Normally, I would be really reluctant to hand out pony passes. I saw a graphic after the game. The Lions lost 6 starters on defense through the course of the year that didn't play in that game. And 7 backups.
Right.
6 starters and 7 backups.
Think about that and just put yourself in the Steelers' frame of mind.
They had their JV team out there, Bob.
Right. That's why I think.
Now, that doesn't give Jared Goff a pass, does it? Remember what I said on Friday about him, Limits? Listen to this, Bob. It was me, Donnie, and Limits. We were doing our predictions, and I had this tiny little feeling. I didn't go with it, but there was a feeling. There's a little part of me that wonders if Jared Goff has another blow-up game in him. It's very unfair of me, but I don't trust him. I don't trust him. He's had those, remember the 5 interception game he had this year, I think? Bob, that was my feeling. There's 2 guys in the league that some people regard as really good quarterbacks that I do not trust. It sounds like Limits, Prescott's one for him. Jared Goff and Brock Purdy. Don't trust them. I just don't.
Yeah, and
I think they're functions of their systems.
San Francisco has a situation on their hands where they have to figure out what they're going to do with their quarterback. And do they believe in him, just as you didn't believe in Jared Goff? So there's a lot to be said that he overcame being a 7th-round pick, all these things he did, and he was very good in the, quote, system. But this year, not so much, but they had a lot of injuries, too.
There's
so
too much blow-up ability there.
How much would you give him, Purdy?
I wouldn't make him my franchise quarterback.
You wouldn't?
No. Would you, Limits?
No. No, I would not.
How about if the price was right? How about if he didn't go into the
$50 million
range?
I guess if he gave me
a
break, you know, he's shown he can perform in that system, but so is Jimmy Garoppolo.
So, and I think Sam Darnold could have if they hung on to him. They had him there too. So,
last question before I let you go, Bob. We'll switch to baseball. Quite a kerfuffle. Is kerfuffle the right word, Bob?
Conundrum?
Yeah, at Pirate Fest with Bob Nutting being there but not taking questions from the crowd. I think if you're there, quite frankly, you need to take questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He should have been front and center. He should have faced all of it. It's his team. And over everyone else there, he has the power to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And he should have, first of all, I was surprised that he showed up. I thought he wasn't. If you're going to play that game, then don't show up, you know? But if you're there, it's your team, you should be front and center. The first Q&A should have been an hour with him. Anything you want, ask.
Man, I agree. I mean, it was Travis Williams out there taking all the shots and saying, basically, I'm here to answer for him. I mean, he's, I wasn't there either. But man, to have people out front sort of taking all the shots for you, I think that's one occasion, once per year, where the people who are spending their hard-earned money on your team, you have to be there answering questions limits. Do you agree?
I fully agree. And this is the Ask Pirates Management segment that they always do every year. They took it away for a couple years and then brought it back, I think, last season, where it's Williams, Charrington, and Shelty that are up there on stage. And a lot of people were asking questions about Nutting. It would be nice to see him face the music, but at the same time, we don't see fans asking Art Rooney questions or fans asking Fenway Sports Group questions. So I don't think the Pirates have a reason to do it.
I'm just saying, if I'm the owner of the team, I want to be up front and center with these people. They're paying.
They're paying, and you have 28 losing seasons in the last 32 years. So I would reward those people at least by showing up. I don't know if that's a reward, but respect maybe is the better word.
And you know, there's a
respect
way.
Respect those people by getting in front of them.
There's a way to answer every question, really. I've always believed that, no matter who it is and no matter what the question. People are going to ask him, why don't you sell the team? He said, because I believe this team is going. Whatever you want to say, you can say. People may say, well, that's not truthful. So be it. At least you answered it. To me, you get points for standing up there and talking about what's going on. And I want to know about your spending habits. And why don't you support a cap? And why don't you do these things? He can answer any of those questions. He's a smart enough guy to do it. He's made a lot of money. He knows how to make money. He's smart. Get up there and answer the questions. It looks terrible if you're not.
I agree. And I think that needed to happen. All right. Coming up, Limits, you actually broke down Pirate Fest a little bit more with some interesting clips. I heard stuff from Skeens, or some from Skeens, that really piqued my interest. And he had a great quote, too. And I wonder, Bob, as we say goodbye, Paul Skeens does not strike me as a wallflower. I think, and it was sort of sad to see McCutchen running interference for Bob Nutting, a guy who got rid of him at one point. I didn't like that. But I don't get the impression that Skeens, if he sees things as he gets older in his career that he doesn't like around here, is going to keep quiet or deliver the company line. No, I could be wrong.
I agree with that.
I could be wrong.
For now, he is, because he's a second-year player.
But he's starting to dance around a little more.
He is an authoritative kind of guy. I think that's how he works. He believes in what he's doing. He wants all the pressure on him, but he's also willing to say, if things aren't going well, that, hey, this is how I feel, and I'm not afraid to feel it because I'm Paul Skeens, and I'm going to win Cy Young this year. How about him being a favorite at his age, youngest guy ever to be a favorite to win a Cy Young?